started talking about building friendships, and I stressed the distinction between a friend and an acquaintance. A friend is someone that you have a close relationship with, someone you know well, and they are somebody who is supportive of yourself. An acquaintance is an individual that you may know well also. I illustrated a clerk in the store that you shop at regularly and long term, may see them for quite a while, but though you know them well, it's at a totally different level than it is with somebody who you would truly call a friend. Of course, even when we talk about friends, we start putting adjectives with them, and your best friend, my closest friend, and that happens, of course. Not every individual that you would consider a friend will you have the same level of relationship with. And when people don't understand that, they can become possessive. I want to say it's not uncommon for children, and perhaps it's more obvious in children than in adults. But what I'm about to say, it can exist in adults. And that is when a person has not learned, and when a child has not been taught that there's different levels of friendship, then what they can do is become very possessive of a friend. And they feel they can only have one friend. And that friend can't be friends with someone else. Okay? It sends such a person into a real problem, because they haven't learned that you can have more than one friend, and you have different relationships with people. And like I say, that exists most frequently in children, but I have through the years observed it in some adults. And that's really sad, because the adult who doesn't understand that there's different levels of friendship and different types of friends and so on, then they usually end up without friends, because they are so possessive of a person. And when that person realizes that they are expected to cut off any significant involvement with somebody else, some people really have problems in their life living with such, and just put up with it because they themselves aren't aware of what's happening. But a lot of times a person will realize, hey, look, I have other people in my life. And so they'll say something to the one who's being possessive, and as a result, then that person who's being possessive, they now no longer have that friend, because that friend's cut it off, because they realize that life is more the circle of life involves more than one person. Okay? And so these are some things that's important for children to learn and for parents to teach children. Another important thing that I mentioned last week is that good friendships don't just happen. You must work at them. Okay? In some cases, it means a matter of being patient with another person. Oh, no, let me change that. It always involves being patient with another person. Okay? It may involve with giving yourself. Okay? Now, let me put a pause at that point. When it comes to friends that you would have, there's there's different, as I say, not only levels of friendship as far as closeness and intimacy goes, but there's different levels of friendship in the sense that some people are high maintenance. And in order to be a friend to them, you are constantly, and I'm not sure just what, there was a good response there to high maintenance, okay? I'm not just sure what your response involves, okay? Here's what I'm saying about it. There are some people that you have to give a lot. They are always or mostly on the receiving end. They're needing you to give to them. And that kind of friendship can be draining. You see, true friendship is a two-way street. Now, in all situations, each person must be patient with the other one at one, sometimes more than other times. You may need to give more than you know you would like to, but it isn't always giving. It isn't the other person always taking. But it's a good friendship is a two-way relationship of give and take, and it's in that sense that I say a good friendship doesn't just happen. You need to build it. And you can't rush. Listen to this. This is important. You can't rush building a friendship.
That's right.
Any more than you can rush building a house. You know, I think it was Brother McVeigh talked about foundations and how important the right foundation is. And yes, his grandfather, that when he would start building, if something wasn't right, he'd stop, he'd tear it apart, and he'd get back to whatever point was necessary. And so if you rush it, you can end up with a friendship that isn't strong, it isn't solid, it isn't satisfying, because, and we're gonna see what I mean by that today, in a couple of the steps that we're going to look at. Do we need to pass out any more of these? Josh, would you come up, please? Zane, if you need one of these diagrams I gave out 2 weeks ago, it's a long time ago, and you know, if you need one, just put your hand up, and the boys will see that you get one. We're going to be looking at the first step, the step of effort. Oh, that worked out just great, didn't it, Zane? Had just what we needed. The first step here toward the matter of friendship, and you see at the top, it's a heart. That kind of heart represents everything that's supposed to be good and friendly and warm and fuzzy and so and all that you would want a friendship to be. First step is effort. This, of course, goes along with the fact that you have to build it. It doesn't just happen automatically. Now, common interests can help in establishing a friendship. But hear me good. Common interests are not the basis of a solid friendship. Oh, we get along so well. We both love to knit. We get along so well. We both like to sew. We get along so well. We both like to shop. We get along so well. We both like, okay? Those common interests can help, but they are not the foundation of a good friendship. They might be an initial attention getter, or an initial attraction to someone. Okay? For example, if let's just stay where we are within the church. Somebody new comes, and of course, at first, you it's just a matter of good morning. I'm glad to see you, and my name's Fred, and what's your name? Henry. Well, good. Henry, glad to have you here. And so you just have these common greetings, okay? And then, so after a couple weeks of that, you figure you better find something else to say, okay? And so you say, you know, hey, Fred, see, this is the third week you're here, and I'm glad for that. Now, where do you work, Fred? You're a roofer. Well, how about that? I'm a roofer, too. Well, now you have a common interest. Now you got a basis that you're going to stand and talk about that to begin with, you see. But then you're going to move beyond that, and you might find something else that you have a common interest in. But you can't build a good friendship, a strong friendship, just on those common interests. Those are external things. And you need to, I mean, they'll exist. I'm not saying they don't matter, but you need internal things. And so you learn from Fred, you have any children? Because, you know, Fred's got gray hair, so, you know, they're not with him. Yeah, I got two kids. One lives in Rochester, and the other one lives down in Pittsburgh. Wow, you got two different directions to go. It's always a chore, you know. Then he laments having to drive two different directions, and you talk about the fact of, you know, something that causes you to drive two different directions, and you chuckle together, and then Melinda starts playing Church in the Wild, and that's the end of that. And so then the next time you talk, you say, hey, how are your kids doing? I remember one was in Pittsburgh and one's, oh yeah, the one down in Pittsburgh, doctor just said, got cancer. Ooh, sorry to hear that. And now, if the kid down there is a man, then you might ask, what kind of cancer is it? If it's a woman, don't do that. If you're a man talking. I learned that the hard way the first time I was visiting as a new pastor. A woman said that she was having some trouble. She was going to go to the hospital. I said, oh, that's too bad. What's the problem? And she said, oh, it's just some things that need attention. Oh, what kind of things? So, that's why they call us dumb Dutchmen, okay? Man, that was embarrassing for both of us. So you see, what I'm beginning to do is make an internal connection with Fred. He's got a son that lives in Pittsburgh, been diagnosed. I'm going to pray for him. What's his name? Okay, and so you get his name, and you might say, can I tell the pastor so he can request prayer Wednesday night in prayer meeting? Because this is a new guy, he's probably not coming to prayer meeting, okay? So, you know, can we, and now you're beginning, again, through external things, but now you're beginning to make an internal connection. And you're praying, you're remembering the next week to ask about it. You say, well, I'm not sure I understand this internal, external. Do you ever have anybody show interest in you? Did you ever have anybody care about something that's important to you? You began to build more than a good morning, how are you doing kind of relationship. And then, you know, I'm not going to walk through all of Fred and Henry's life, but it gives you the idea of what I mean by external and internal relationship. Internal would be things of the heart. You see, Proverbs 18:24 is a verse that we looked at last week. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must always expect that others are going to put them first. That doesn't sound right, does it? No. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. What does it mean to show himself friendly? It means he shows an interest in other people.
That's right.
He cares about other people. So he inquires about important things. You know, it's great that Fred and Henry are roofers, but the significance, okay, is now they both have children. That's important to them. And they find out about the one with cancer, able to show himself friendly. And that's important and comes into play in this matter of effort. Now, before we stop for tonight, it's going to take us a while to get up all these steps. I can see that. Let's look at Ecclesiastes, if you will. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, in this matter of friendship. There are some people that because they've had bad experiences in life, they've chosen to hold others at arm's length. Now, some people are seemingly, their genetic makeup is to be loners, okay? So I know there's that type of person. But a lot, because they've been burned in friendships, they've been hurt in friendships, they just keep people at an arm's length. And so here's an important thing, chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. They're working together. They're not in this matter of life alone. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. See, that's an important thing.
Yes, sir.
We need to be there for the other person. Okay, and another one of these Proverbs scripture says that a friend is born for adversity. In other words, he's there for when you fall. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. And so many times an individual feels, well, I don't need others. I've extended myself, and it's always come back on me. It's always bit me and been a problem, and so I'm just not going to risk it again. There's a gospel song, in living and loving brought pain. What's the other words? And I promise I'd never let it happen again. I'm not going to love somebody. I'm not going to care about somebody. I'm not going to put myself out there and have that pain again. But you can't live that way. Because if you fall, no one will be there to help you. You need others. Just learn that building friendships goes slow. Take your time. Don't rush it. Don't force it. There may be somebody that you love to be friends with, and it just doesn't click. You just can't connect. It just doesn't work. My friend, give up. You will be hurt, but it's because you're trying to force something rather than to just pray and say, God, I need friends. I want friends. Bring me a friend. And don't forget, he that would have friends must show himself friendly. Therefore you say, Father, who do you want me to be a friend to? So you want friendship from someone, and that's a legitimate want. But you can also be a friend to someone.
Yes,
there's different levels of friendship. So it might be somebody at work, you see. It might be somebody in the neighborhood. You know, God answers prayer. And he will meet your need for friends. But if you would have friends, you must show yourself friendly and be friends to someone else. All right? Now we're going to go to prayer and pray for those things that people have requested.